Although there was no public announcement as to what the two men discussed, it was rumored that they were attempting to create a common policy of settling Germany's foreign debts and expanding its markets. There were also rumors that Britain's bankers might extend to Germany some $375 million in export credits. The importance of such financial cooperation was explained by Sutton. In the 1920s and 1930s, the New York Federal Reserve System, the Bank of England, the Reichsbank in Germany, and the Banque de France also more or less influenced the political apparatus of their respective countries indirectly through control of the money supply and creation of the monetary environment. More direct influence was realized by supplying political funds to, or withdrawing support from, politicians and political parties. Funds for this financial control were channeled through the Bank of International Settlements that, according to the bank's charter and with the agreement of the respective governments, was immune from seizure, closure, or censure, even if its owners were at war. These owners included the Morgan-affiliated First National Bank of New York, among whose directors were Harold S. Vanderbilt and Wendell Willkie, the Bank of England, the Reichsbank, the Bank of Italy, the Bank of France, and other central banks. The bank, BIS, soon turned out to be a money funnel for American and British funds to flow into Hitler's coffers and to help Hitler build up his war machine, wrote Higham. By the start of World War II, the BIS was under Nazi control with the bank's directors, including Schmitz, Schroeder, Dr. Walter Frank, and Emil Puhl of the Reichsbank. In 1939, when the Nazis moved into Czechoslovakia, officials of the Czech National Bank removed $48 million in gold reserves to the Bank of England for safekeeping. Under pressure from the Nazis, Bank of England Governor Montague Norman unhesitatingly agreed to move the gold to Switzerland, where it went into Nazi accounts to purchase essential war materials for Germany. Despite the obvious rearmament of Germany in the late 1930s, the Nazis continued to find support in Britain, even within the Rothschild-dominated Bank of England. This pro-Nazi proclivity by Bank of England officials will assume even more relevance in the events described in the next section.